Welcome to Let's Talk About Health podcast, where we promote healthy habits and empower individuals and families to live their best life. I'm your host, Dr. Chandra Basil, and I'm an osteopathic family physician. This is Let's Talk About Health podcast episode number one, Humans Are Emotional Beings, part one, back to school with a lot to learn. I've created this podcast to provide health tips and education and to discuss important and relevant topics. When we talk about health, it's important to recognize the interconnectedness of our mind, body, and spirit. Your mental health and spiritual health are just as important as your physical health. As I'm sure you know, we're currently in the middle of a pandemic. With that in mind, I've decided to start this podcast with a series that I think is important, relevant, and very real. I'll be taking the next several weeks to talk about mental health in a series called Humans Are Emotional Beings. Today's episode is focused on our children. Children may not be the most likely to become infected with COVID-19, but it has become very obvious during this pandemic that our children have been affected by it the most. I'm not talking about physical illness, but psychologically. Their worlds have been turned completely upside down. We heard a lot about the consequences brought on by this pandemic. Those routines that you work so hard to create, destroyed. The social interactions at school and during sports activities, lost. The motivation and ambition to excel in school, deflated. Children who are already isolated and struggling were put in even more isolating and potentially dangerous environments. These years are critical for children in learning how to interact with others and discovering who they are. I know they will adapt because kids are resilient, but we have to help them learn to cope and process everything going on around them. Not every child has the same support system, so the impact can be very different from one family to the next. Children are still in the developmental stages of learning how to manage and express emotions. It's okay if they're angry. Talk about it. It's understandable if they are afraid. Many of us are too. Rather than ignoring or hiding these emotions, it's important that we face them and help our children to face them. I was recently talking to a friend of mine about this, and I decided to bring her on the show today to talk about how her family is handling the situation. This is Lindsay Pfeiffer. She's a mom, a wife, and a third-year medical student. We've known each other since high school, and I'm excited to talk with her today about managing emotions during the pandemic. Lindsay, thanks for agreeing to be on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us what it's been like for your family since the pandemic started.
So when things first started and everything closed down, we actually went and lived with my mother and father-in-law because I was in the middle of studying for boards, and I needed help with the kids so that I could sit and study. And Eden is my almost 8-year-old. She went with my husband to work with him so that she could get her schoolwork done during the day. And it made it a little easier on me as well because I only had Emmett there to care for, and I had help. So that made it a little easier. And then as time went on and things started to open back up, their school opened back up, and they went back to daycare for the summer because I was still studying for boards. And during that time, when we actually had moved into a new apartment, and so there was just a lot of change going on at one time, and it was a big deal for all of us because we went from living in a pretty normal life as a family to being quarantined to moving, and then the kids went back to daycare after that.
So how were the kids handling all that change that you guys were experiencing?
So I have an almost 8-year-old and I have an almost 5-year-old. So during that time, my Eden, my almost 8-year-old, she really just was like happy to be out of school and just excited that I was home with her and that her family was home with her and everything. So she thought it was awesome at the beginning. And my son was just like, oh, it's just another day. He's kind of a happy-go-lucky kid, and he just didn't really care either way. And so as time went on, I started to see a little change in Eden of, you know, why are we wearing masks when we go out? Or like a little bit of anxiety here and there, but nothing too crazy. Well, then when she went back to school, things were going great for the first few days. And one day I was supposed to be there at 3:30 to pick her up, and I had to run an errand before I went and picked her up. So during that time, I was a little bit late. And when I got to school, she was crying. And I didn't really think too much of it because she had a doctor's appointment the next day where she was having a cavity filled. So she was a little bit anxious about that. And from that time forward, she had started crying every single night. She was crying every morning before she went to school, and she was crying most of the day throughout school. And she also wasn't eating, and she also was not playing with her friends. And so that's when I saw a huge change. It was just in that instance of me being a little bit late to pick her up, was the time that she just, something in her mind kind of clicked that, hey, mom and dad might get sick during this time and not pick me up. And it took her a really long time to be able to tell us that, but that was what was going through her head at that time. And of course, Emmett was just, you know, he was still his usual self, didn't really care, knew that we had to wear masks when we went out, but it wasn't really anything big or different for him. And so the age difference between the two of 8 and 5 really showed how much they understand going from that gap.
So how did you recognize with Eden that it was no longer just a normal anxiety?
So with her, she went from kind of just being like, oh, like, I don't really want to wear this mask, or asking us questions about like why we had to do certain things, or I don't want to go out into a store, I don't want to go, you know, around other people, to crying all the time, to not eating, to not playing with her friends. And it really went from just a kind of concerned approach to her anxiety for her to a I can't function in my daily life. I'm losing weight. I'm, you know, her teacher was super concerned about her. You know, everybody was kind of noticing and throughout her life that things were not normal.
I think that's really important for us to recognize here. And we're mainly talking about anxiety, but I think this is true for a lot of mental health things that we discuss, is recognizing what's a normal response and what's an abnormal response. So when we talk about anxiety and depression and things like that, usually, you know, some of that response is normal. So initially, with all the change that was going on in her life, to feel anxious about that is normal. To feel anxious about her dentist appointment, that's totally normal. And we're going through like a lot of uncertainty in the world right now. So most people are feeling some of that anxiety. But those things that you mentioned are so important for people to recognize: the change in eating habits, not sleeping, crying all the time, you know, all those big, big changes. And when it starts to disrupt her daily life, like she's not functioning normally, that's when these are true, you know, problems that need to be addressed a different way. So it's important that we kind of help people recognize that. So what did you do for Eden after you kind of recognized this was a bigger problem?
So initially I called her pediatrician and I said, hey, I need to get her in to be seen because she's having these behaviors that aren't normal, and that she's, you know, she had lost weight actually, and she wasn't playing with her friends. She was crying all the time. So I explained that to them, and we were actually going on vacation the next week, and they wanted to wait to schedule her. And I said, no, like, she's not doing well. She needs to be seen right now. So I think advocating for your kids and really pushing to get them seen, and to, you know, your kid the best. So advocating for them to be treated the way they need to be treated is ultimately falls on your shoulders. So I asked her pediatrician if she could be seen right away, and she was actually seen the next morning. And then I called a counselor and I got her into the counselor right away, and she was able to be seen the following week. So those were the two big things that I did initially. And then throughout the next few weeks, we met with her counselor and just kind of explained to her what was going on. And she suggested some really great things right off the bat that helped a lot. And that was a book called Wilma Jean, The Worry Machine. And basically, in that book, it taught her to internalize and externalize her worries and fears. And so the things that she can control and the things that she can't control. And a lot of the things that she could control is that she wears a mask every day. We wear a mask every day. And that she can wash her hands, you know, whenever she goes out. And we wash our hands whenever we go out. So those were just a few things that, just explaining to her that we're doing everything that we can to not get sick. We're putting her in situations where they're doing everything they can to not get her sick, such as in daycare setting and things like that. And then another really cool thing that we did was we made bracelets, her and I, and basically, like, we put different beads on the bracelet to explain different things that mean a lot to both of us. So for red, that means that my love for her will never stop. The yellow was that a happy memory that we shared together. The blue was that I was praying for her. And so every time I looked down at the bracelet, I would say a quick prayer for her every day. And so those things that really made us feel connected and her feel connected to me even when I wasn't with her really helped.
I love that, the bracelet idea. I think, you know, something that wasn't just for her, but for you too, yeah. to make sure that you were remembering to think about her, to pray for her, to call her. Because I think it's so easy for us as adults to get wrapped up in our day at work or whatever it is that we're doing. And so what a great reminder to help you really make sure that you were doing the things you needed to do to help her. And I think I also really love what you said about recognizing what we control and what we can't. And I don't think that's just for our kids to hear. I think us as adults, too, need to recognize, like, what in this situation that we're currently in do we have control over? Because you see a lot of complaining, a lot of, you know, people freaking out and, you know, all these things. And how much of that do we really have a say in right now? Like, gosh, I'd really love for this virus to just go away, but I can't make that happen.
Yeah.
So how can, you know, me and my family adjust and adapt and do the best we can to not let this, you know, ruin things for us, because we can still have happy moments. We can still make memories like you're talking about with this bracelet. You know, we can still do those things. And so remembering to really focus on the things we can control, which I think we lose sight of a lot of the time. So very good advice. I love that. So Lindsay, tell me what you've learned through all of this.
I think the biggest thing that I've learned is just to really slow down and take time for the things that matter and take time for your family and really enjoy those moments, because you'll never get this time back. And another thing I've learned is just to really be selfless with your time, because your kids need you, you know, and especially during this time. And it doesn't always present in the way that you think it's going to present, and things aren't going to always going to go the way you think they're going to go. And, you know, your kids really need you right now. And so I think that that's probably the things that I've learned the most.
That's great. I actually read a story recently, and it makes me think, you know, hearing your story about Eden, I wonder, you know, in our busy lives, had COVID not forced us to slow down, you know, would any of this, one, have happened, but if there was that underlying anxiety already there, would you have seen it like you did in this yeah. scenario? Because the story I was reading recently was a physician colleague that I'm kind of connected with online. She told a story about how she, during this time, was able to realize that her daughter was autistic. They were forced to slow down, and then she spent more time with her and realized that she missed all of those signs before, probably because she's, you know, a physician, she's working a busy life. So I think it's easy to just kind of not catch these things sometimes because we're so busy. So I think that's a really great learning point. And I think a lot of us have probably experienced a little bit of that during this time, because we were forced to just yeah. shut things down and spend more time with our families because we couldn't go anywhere. Right. So what a great point, you know, to just remember that. Remember what these times were like and the special time you got to spend together and really help her through this. That's really good. There are a lot of conversations going on right now about the best way or the safest way for our kids to do school this year. So let's talk a little bit about your thoughts around hybrid school, virtual school, homeschool, you know, what everybody's talking about. What are your thoughts?
I think you just have to do what's right for your family, because it could be different for every family. You know, in my family, we're both working parents. So, you know, sending our kids back to school in person worked for us because they were going to have to go to daycare anyways. Luckily, their school is doing in person, but I know a lot of the schools didn't give parents that choice. So I think you just have to find what works for you and really support your kids through that, because ultimately that's what matters.
And I think this goes a little bit back to what you said earlier about, you know, recognizing what we can control. Because a lot of this, I feel like, hasn't been the decision of any of these families. I mean, maybe some have gotten the chance to weigh in on this, but I feel like most families are kind of at the mercy of their district and what they decide to do. And I think they're trying to do what's best for these kids, but ultimately it's kind of out of our control. So, you know, like you said earlier, focusing on those things that we can control, and that's the type of support that we're giving our kids through this time, because they still need to learn and they still need to interact somehow, some way. I mean, these things are critical to their development. I think I mentioned it earlier in the podcast, you know, we've got critical development for these kids right now. And so we have to be able to support them in the way that they need it. And like you said, it's going to be different for every family, for every kid. I feel like, you know, my son and daughter both learn very differently, and they're at different stages of their learning. So what works for one may not work for the other, but I got to figure that out. Even as a working parent, I can't homeschool them.
Yeah,
it would be ideal, but not everybody can do that. So figuring out what's the best way to support our kids during this time. And I think maybe trying to take the focus off, you know, which is the right one, because you may not get to choose, and learning to make the best of it, I think. Well, Lindsay, thanks for being on the show today. This was a great conversation. I appreciate you being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Hopefully we'll talk again soon. Okay, so how can we help reduce the stress of school and all the current challenges and uncertainties that our kids are facing? It may be a little different depending on the age of the child, but here are some general tips. Number one, get enough sleep. Our bodies need it. Number two, eat healthy foods. Give your body what it needs to function. Number three, move. Exercise keeps stress at bay, so keep your family active. Number four, relax. Enjoy some hobbies, maybe take some time, and make sure you're doing those things that you love and enjoy with your kids. Number five, don't overschedule. Allow your children to have time for themselves. Don't plan out every minute of every day. Number six, explore a new place. While practicing social distancing, check out a new park or tour the city. Do something you've not done with your family before. Number seven, teach your kids to ask for help when they feel overwhelmed. Check in on them daily, but not too frequently to where they don't want to talk to you. But seriously, check in on them. Number eight, practice and teach good coping skills. Try things like deep breathing. Maybe consider Tai Chi, take a walk, play with your pets, or try journaling, whatever works best for them. Also, remember to smile and see the humor in life. Research shows that laughter can boost your immune system, ease pain, and relax your body, and reduce stress. So give it a try. Number nine, quiet your mind. Try mindfulness. Relaxation exercise can actually improve your state of mind and outlook on life. I promise, it's hard, but it works. In fact, research shows that meditation may help you feel calm and enhance the effects of other stress reducers like therapy. So these, as well as lots of other great resources, can be found on Nationwide Children's website via the links found in the show notes, so don't forget to check them out. If you notice significant changes in your child's behavior, such as sleep problems, major appetite changes, behavior or mood changes, or anxiety that makes it difficult for them to function, seek advice from your child's doctor, school counselor, or teacher. You can also contact Big Lots Behavioral Health Services at Nationwide Children's Hospital or a local children's mental health service. Thanks for listening to Let's Talk About Health. If you like our show, please subscribe. And if you want to learn more or are interested in the resources mentioned in today's show, check out the links below. Be sure to like us on Facebook and join the conversation. And don't forget to enter to win this month's giveaway. We'd love to hear your feedback, so leave us a review on iTunes. Join us next week when we'll be talking about Humans Are Emotional Beings Part 2, 5 False Identities Moms Struggle With, and some words of encouragement.